The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Good morning. Court Radio is now in session. Call 215-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Yes, sirree, Bob. Good morning. It's Dean Weitzman, and this is Court Radio. Welcome, folks. I know you've been waiting all week to get your legal questions answered. All you got to do, as you well know, is dial 215-227-2727, the number for all legal knowledge in Pennsylvania. 215-227-2727. And I'm joined today with our special guest host, the man with the most legal knowledge. He's forgotten more than most people ever know. It's John Lord.
Good morning, Dean. Thanks for having me on the show this morning.
The audience is really appreciative of your being here, John. You know, it's always great to have you. We have some things going on in the news today. We're going to talk about Eagles, but we're going to wait a little bit later, folks, to talk with Dave Spadaro from Eagles Inside, who's going to join us later in the show. But before we get there, let's talk about, you know, what really disturbed me this week, if I could share with you, John. Sony Pictures pulling the movie The Interview in response to the North Koreans cyber attacking them and threatening us, the American people, in our homes and theaters as we watched this movie. Now, I don't know anything about the movie. It might be the dumbest movie in the world. It may be unfair, and it may show the North Koreans in a bad light. I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure it's possible to show the North Koreans in a bad light. They're just bad. But nonetheless, it looks like our commercial company, I mean, it's a Japanese company, but, you know, we've taken the Sony brand to heart here in America. And it looks like they have had to shelve, like a $40 million project, the money spent, because of some dictator in a land far, far away. What do you think about that?
You know, Dean, there's a lot of issues there that are going to have to be resolved. It's becoming more and more obvious that a new form of warfare is a cyber warfare, and it just can't be ignored any longer. So we have to rely upon our government to come up with ways and methods of dealing with dictatorships, especially one like Korea, the so-called hermit kingdom, where it's difficult to assess economic sanctions against them, since they've been sanctioned as much as anybody can be sanctioned, I think, and they really don't care, since they're not really in the typical world economy. But I can also understand Sony's position to some extent. They're not charged with defending the country against cyber attacks. And I know later in the program we might be talking about social host liability and other types of liabilities that property owners have. And when as I understand the case, where the theater owners and distributors of the film decided not to show the film because of fears of liability and what might happen if something happens in a theater, as we know can happen, of a violent sort, then they might be liable, and their distributors might be liable, and therefore they decide to pull the plug. But
yeah,
the issue has to be addressed across the board, because all that's going to happen is that anytime somebody someplace else doesn't like what's going on in this country that has a lot of freedoms, freedom of expression in particular, they're going to do something to us.
I understand that, and probably we would be the ones stepping forward if something happened in a theater to say, hey, you had notice and you did nothing about it. Something needs to be done. I'm just not sure that the answer is to pull the plug on this movie, because the argument is, where does it end? Yeah, all of a sudden now, your freedom of speech is really crapped on by some despot in, you know, in another country.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's so now here on Court Radio, we're fearful of talking bad about the North Koreans because, you know, we might be become the subject of some terrorism by them. There's no end to it. And frankly, I think President Obama got it right when he said he was disappointed that happened. And we, the American people, need to step up our fight on cybercrime. You started with that. I think that's the strongest statement we can make today, because if we're not at the forefront there, we're going to be subject to a lot of bad things as time goes by.
That's absolutely correct. I mean, this problem's not going to solve itself because, you know, we in this country and other developed nations created this entire internet. Unfortunately, we can't restrict its use. There's, people out there, nations out there who are going to use it against us now, just like when somebody invented gunpowder, the neighbor next door got a hold of it and used it against them. So it's just the way of the world, and it's our government's going to have to figure out a way to deal with it.
215-227-2727. We get paid to take calls, so let's talk to Patricia from the Oxford Circle. Hey, Patricia. You know, you're in my old stomping ground. I grew up in the Oxford Circle, so you're near and dear to my heart, dear. What's the question?
Good morning, Dean. Good morning, David. I wanted to ask a question about car insurance. Is there such thing as a guest driver on your policy?
Sure. Well, I mean, here it is. If you've got a valid policy in Pennsylvania and you've lent your vehicle to someone, they have permission to drive, then your insurance is going to cover whatever actions they engage in that would be negligent and that would cover you. So it's the same coverage you're entitled to, they get. There are some exceptions. For instance, if you have somebody who lives in your house, and they lived there when you got your policy, and you didn't tell your insurance company, hey, I have so-and-so living here who's a licensed driver, because that's probably a question which was asked on the forms and applications to get the policy. Then, in that case, that particular person may not be covered. And you can certainly exclude people. But the general rule, is if you gave your car to a friend or relative and they got in an accident, your insurance has to cover them.
Okay, so they don't have to be on the policy.
No. Can you imagine how crazy that would be? Every time you gave your car to somebody, we give cars out like we give candy away. We're always everybody's borrowing our car. So, no, you do not have to have anyone on your policy in order for them to be covered. Now,
okay.
if you were sharing a car with somebody and they were regularly using it, you guys were like partners in the car. One day they'd have it, the next day you'd have it, and so on and so forth. I could paint a scenario where I believe the insurance company might try to disclaim on that claim because they were of the opinion that person should have been on the policy and revealed to them. But absent that, you just lend your car for once in a while to somebody, that person's going to be covered by your insurance.
Okay.
All right, Patricia from Oxford Circle, thanks for listening.
You're welcome.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
215-227-2727. We have Katrina on the phone from Northeast Philly on line 3, Lair. Hey, Katrina, welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning.
So,
go
ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
I was calling because I have a question. I actually want to know if I entitled to legal representation. I was at work, and one of my employees came in my section, and he started getting aggressive with me. So he lunged at me, and what happened was I reflect his lunge by bending his arm back and shoving him out my section. Now, the doctor was in at that particular time, so I guess they ruled me as the aggressor. even though I was in my own section, and he came into my section and started harassing me. At that particular point, I didn't know what he was going to do, so I just reflected his lunge, bent his arm back, and shoved him out my section. Result of that, I got terminated because they are at-will employee, but they also saw me as the aggressor, and they saw me as the person that was provoking the fight.
So, Katrina, your question is, could you have sued somebody? Is that it? I mean, get right to the bottom of it here. Were you wrongly treated by doing that? You get into a factual scenario where, I take what you said at face value. We don't have your opponent's view on that, but your employer reviewed both. What did they do to you? What happened to you as a result of this?
I was the only one that got terminated from the result of it. They were saying that I was the one that provoked the fight because I physically touched them.
Okay, got it. And so your question is, were you rightfully or wrongfully terminated?
Right.
You were rightfully terminated. Only because, and that's not a judgment call on what you did or didn't do, but, in Pennsylvania, we're at-will employees, and our employer can fire us or can us for any reason at all, bad reasons, good reasons. So if you had a scale and you weighed, well, Katrina did this, he did that, and even if you're correct, Katrina, that the scale tips further in your favor because he was the aggressor, your employer doesn't need to get it right. As long as they don't fire you, as long as they don't fire you for a discriminatory reason, they can fire you, period. I think, you should be looking for another job. You're like a ninja.
Got another job.
you deflected, you defended, you twisted his arm, you tossed him out. You're like, if I needed protection, Katrina, you'd be the person I'd turn to.
I'm a female. I have to protect myself.
Thanks for calling Court Radio, Katrina, and have a great Sunday.
Have a happy holiday.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
215-227-2727. She wasn't taking any guff from her coworker.
Oh.
No way. He was not coming into her section. Defend at all costs. Yeah. Poor Katrina, though, she's out of a job. But she did say she got another job, so she's obviously resourceful as well.
Right. I'm glad to hear that she landed on her feet.
Yeah. Really, I could just picture her with the ninja outfit, You coming into my job? Never. Co-workers splayed out on the floor. Smoke's coming out of his ears.
Yeah, he probably hasn't picked himself up yet.
I don't know if the co-workers calls in. He might be looking for representation. Katrina might have some civil liability. All right. Let's talk about something which happened actually on a more serious note, John. We had Sony Pictures, who, I'm tired of Sony, and they're thinking of actually releasing that movie. I don't know what. I don't know if our listeners care about this. To me, it's aggravating, and it just got under my skin. Do not let another country dictate to us what we're going to do or not do. It's annoying,
Sure.
I mean, where was it before? We had never mind. I forget the name of the guy, but he wrote a book. Salman Rushdie.
Salman Rushdie, yeah.
Yeah, you remember right. Salman?
Yes.
Was his name Salman?
Salman.
Salman.
Yeah, Salman Rushdie, yeah.
Salman, like a fish.
He had a, I'm drawing a blank myself on what you call the fatwa. That's what it was. It was put on him because he dared to express an opinion that some could interpret as critical of the Muslim faith. We're so inured in this country to having the freedom of speech, and sometimes freedom of speech means you have to endure the idiotic speech of others, but we bend over backwards to make sure that every citizen has that right. It's embodied in the Constitution, of course. But other countries, certainly places like North Korea, where there is no freedom at all, don't see it that way.
Yeah, and you bring up a great point. We sometimes take for granted our own freedoms.
Exactly.
And we, as Americans, we can be fooled into thinking the rest of the world is like here, and far, far, far from it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, one of the first things dictatorships do is take control of all the news media and the television and the radio so that they can control the conversation.
Yep, and
Nothing like court radio over in some of those countries. You'd last about 5 minutes before it off the air.
We just have a little disclaimer beforehand, but it would be a whole lot different if we were in North Korea and having court radio. You know, we'd be in the gulag or wherever North Koreans throw their prisoners.
Right. But one of the wonderful things about our country is that Sony will release this film, probably through streaming, through Netflix, you know, Apple TV, whatever. And they have gotten more publicity than they could ever pay for. So that's
got a point
nice
there. Yeah. Maybe the executives at Sony knew exactly what they were doing.
Maybe they called up that character over there in North Korea and said, hey, listen, why don't you rattle people's cages?
What's his name?
I can't remember. They're all like...
Jung-il Jun or something? Junior.
Like, yeah, Junior.
Jung-il Junior.
Right.
It's, Jung-il's young son.
Well, the way we've been slaughtering his name, if we get a call from the North Koreans, we'll know the court radio is really reaching out there.
Yeah. Well, we have. We've gotten as far as Ireland and Spanish Town, Jamaica. So I'm sure there's some North Koreans listening to court radio as we speak.
Wonderful.
Monitoring you, John Lord.
That's right. But we're not scared, are we?
No. Heck no. I'm not scared of anybody. Least of all, some, you know, despot in North Korea. I never thought I'd say despot today, and I've said it several times. Hey, folks, follow us on Twitter at Court Radio, all right? If you follow us on Twitter at Court Radio, Monica might get you a T-shirt this week. Yeah, and don't forget, call Dean first. Several people called this week. They were involved in accidents and stuff like that, and they said, hey, we heard you. We listened. We're calling you first. And thank goodness, because they were about to fall off the side of a cliff, make a big mistake dealing with insurance companies without representation. That's not something you want to try, kids at home. All right, let's talk to Sherry from Mount Airy on line 2, because we haven't had anybody from Mount Airy today. Hey, Sherry, welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling to find out how can I get an order of protection. The deal is that the father of my 2-year-old daughter has, I consider it stalking. I've been getting over 130 text messages daily since about November, mid-November to current. I finally blocked my number, and just yesterday there were over 100 text messages in a special folder.
Well,
he's been doing this off and on for the last year and a half. My car window has been broken. The messages are threatening, you know, watch your back. Somebody's watching you, and intimidating, harassing, verbally abusive, name-calling. You know, and frankly, I'm scared. He's threatened to stop child support, and he has, so I've had to take my daughter out of school. And I went to court to file for an order of protection, and basically what they said is that he hasn't hit you, so it's nothing we can do. I didn't get the order of protection. He left court smiling and happy, and I left court defeated and, you know, not feeling protected.
Right. Well, you can always take matters into your own hands and not rely upon the court to get involved. I was going to tell you, and I guess to some extent you've tried that already, to go down to family court and file a protection from abuse. Get yourself a PFA, a stay away order. But he has. His abuse has been a cyber abuse, it sounds like, primarily. And so it certainly could rise to the level of civil harassment. And as such, you could file suit for damages. So you could sue him and say, hey, you owe me money. The court will determine how much money your particular form of harassment warrants. But you could file suit for harassment, bring in your text messages, bring in your phone bill, and file it down in municipal court in Philadelphia. and you'd be suing him like a civil lawsuit, like somebody who harmed you by a car accident or not maintaining their property or what have you. But this is an intentional act, not a negligent act. And I think that the court would have to entertain your claim. So you could bring, you can, you know, empower yourself by going down to municipal court on Chestnut Street and filing a civil action against him and saying, enough. I'm not going to have you bothering me any longer. And the court would bring you both in, and you'll be able to demonstrate with evidence. Please bring all of your evidence. I think the court's going to find in your favor.
Okay, that's great to know. But in addition to that, how do I get a restraining order? Because I don't know what this person is. I believe he is capable of doing something, and I don't want to wait around until I'm choked or attacked, and then all of a sudden I can get the restraining order. Like, it's, I want to be proactive.
Yeah. Well, I would say that you need to enlist the assistance of the police. I think that every time that he engages in behavior which you believe is in violation of the law, I mean, he's assaulted you, or he's threatened you. A threat is a criminal act. If you capture that threat on a text message, you have to go down to the police and file charges against him. Eventually, I think the police will get tired of seeing you, and they'll participate in this. I think then you have some, you know, that then you have the force of the government behind you, not just yourself alone. You're not just singing in the wind. But again, it requires you to demonstrate a criminal act, and that means a threat. It's either violence or a threat of violence. If he hasn't done either of those, then I think you're in civil court and you got to go with plan A. But if he threatens you with violence, or he commits violence, obviously that's the easy part. But even if it's threat of violence, I think then that will get you in front of a judge and get you the order you're looking for. But if there's no violence or threat of violence, then I think you got to go the civil way. I want to thank you for listening to Court Radio, and have a great Sunday.
Thank you.
215-227-2727. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have neglected, John, if I may use a legal term, to talk about our hot button topic. I have to let folks know that this time of the year, with partying, social revelry, we have a tendency, us Americans, to overdo it. And John and I are going to talk about what the legal liability is if you're throwing a house party or your employer throwing a holiday party and you imbibe too much and cause harm to yourself or others. Will you be held responsible, or will your employer? We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
It's a legal and financial squeeze. You're unable to work because of an accident. But your legal case is still not settled, so you can't pay the bills to take care of your family. But now, thanks to U.S. Claims, you can. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 1-877-U.S.-CLAIMS. While you're waiting for your settlement, U.S. Claims can help you pay the bills. Get out of the squeeze. Call 1-877-U.S.-CLAIMS today. If you have legal problems and need answers, call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first at 215-227-2727 for personal injury, medical malpractice, birth injury, and more. Call Dean first.
He will fight for your rights. That's what Dean Weitzman is all about.
Call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first. 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience, from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our three convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Need more legal answers? Here's more court radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back. It's court radio. If you're not listening, it's a crying shame. 215-227-2727. Legal questions, that's what we do. We answer them one at a time. And I'm joined in the studio today with my friend and special co-host, John Lord.
Hey, Dean, looking forward to the second half of the show. I understand we're getting a call from someone with the Eagles.
Yeah, we are. We should be talking to Dave Spadaro from the Eagles just any moment now. But before we get on to Dave, we dropped a hammer on court radio before we went off the air for a break. We talked about social host liability. What that is, for those just joining us, especially this time of year, if you have a house party and you're serving liquor to your guests and you let them get out and get in the car and take off, do you have responsibility for the actions that they may engage in while intoxicated? What do you think, John, in Pennsylvania?
Well, generally speaking, a social host has no liability at all. If someone who's a guest in the house has drank too much alcohol and leaves, drives away and injures some, is it themselves or somebody else in a motor vehicle accident? You used a term earlier on that you could probably paint a scenario, and we might be able to paint a scenario here where the situation was so obvious that the person was drunk and was going to get in their car and drive away that there might arguably be some liability. But the state of the law right now is that you can't even restrain the people. You're not there to enforce the law. It's a different situation for a license holder. That is a licensed establishment that's licensed by the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania to serve alcohol.
Yeah, that's a distinction. There's something in Pennsylvania called a Dram Shop Act. And what that means is that we have a law that puts responsibility on a licensed establishment to make sure that folks don't get behind the wheel of their cars if they are visibly intoxicated.
That's the phrase, visibly intoxicated. They can be liable if they serve somebody who is visibly intoxicated and then leaves the establishment and injures themselves or somebody else. But the rules are different for a social host. Now, if you want to be a good social host, you would obviously endeavor not to let your guests get so drunk that they become a danger to themselves and others. But it's more of a moral obligation than a legal obligation.
So no liability, folks, attaches if you serve alcohol. However, what if you serve alcohol to a minor?
Well, if you serve alcohol to a minor, then you're violating the law, the criminal law here in Pennsylvania, and it's practically absolute liability.
Absolute. So you
both
serve
criminal and civil.
You serve alcohol to a minor. Like if I let Larry here behind the board drink at a guest party, being that he's under the age, then Larry gets himself injured. And he has an action against me for having allowed him to drink. I'm responsible almost absolutely for any injury Larry causes to himself or others. And not only that, but I've handled many cases like this. There's more and more the governments are enforcing these laws and prosecuting parents or the adults for allowing the minors to drink. So you have a graduation party or an end of the year party, and you let your little kiddies have some beer. That's it. You're pretty much either you're going to either go to jail or you're going to pay out a whole lot of money for that kind of behavior.
Or both.
Or both. or both. That's completely different, though, than how we treat licensed establishments. You go to a bar and you drink too much and you're falling down drunk, get behind the wheel of a car, and the bar continues to serve you alcohol. Now you've laid the claim for a dram shop action where you could get the bar responsible for the damages caused by the drunk person. I wonder if our listeners understand or agree with that. I mean, sometimes I talk to people and they're like, hey, we're adults. You have to take responsibility for your own behavior. And we shouldn't make a bar responsible for the actions of the folks in it. But who's the professional there? I mean, you know, the argument is that the person who's serving, who's not intoxicated, should be making the better decisions in that scenario.
Well, I think there's some truth to that. You know, some of this all stems from our Puritan background. I mean, where drinking is, although it's ubiquitous, it's everywhere and it's legal, is somehow looked upon as being morally incorrect. So we have these rules that try and limit the damage to innocent people who are not in the bars. However, the funny thing is, if you're a social host and your guest leaves drunk and injures somebody, they're really, under the current state of the law, there isn't any liability that attaches to the social host.
All right, we're going to jump back on a social host liability, and we're going to take people's questions. Folks, stay on the line. I know there's a ton of people waiting to get their questions answered, but we're joined with by Dave Spadaro from the Eagles Insider. Dave, welcome to Court Radio.
Well, thank you. Good morning.
This is a monumental day. It's the first time that we've had you on Court Radio. We really appreciate you getting up to join us today and talk about yesterday's loss.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate that I'm joining you after such a tough loss. It was really disappointing.
I give you great credit, though, for getting up and joining us nonetheless, because I don't know, I might have been running for the hills if I were you right now.
Well, you know, you can never hide. You can't. But we all know how much of an impact that the Eagles have with people, and it's a great source of entertainment and love. And there are times when it just doesn't work out, and the Eagles are going through one of those times right now. 3 weeks ago, this is a 9-3 football team, and sitting atop the NFC East division, and talking about, at least the fans were talking about, playoff implications and how far this team could go. Were they Super Bowl contenders? And today we sit here with very, very faint playoff hopes alive, and it's extremely disappointing.
Well, you know what? I want to get to that in a second, but you brought up a great point. But let me just ask you, what do you do for the Eagles? What's your typical day as an Eagles insider?
Well, my job is to be in the media representing the Philadelphia Eagles, both with our internal media, and that means creating content, writing stories for our digital channels, hosting shows, conducting interviews, and then going out into the world of the media. And there's obviously so many avenues that are interested in the Philadelphia Eagles, and that whether it's radio or internet or television or what have you, and doing what I'm doing now, answering questions about the football team. So
sometimes that job's easier than other times, huh?
Yeah, it is. But I also keep it in perspective, and I'm very aware of what's going on in the world. And, you know, I put sports in its proper place and have been doing it long enough. I mean, I've been covering the Eagles since 1987, so I understand the ups and downs and all arounds of the NFL and how it more than pulls at the heartstrings of Eagles fans and Philadelphia sports fans. And it's been a long, long time, and the Eagles haven't won a championship since 1960, and there's a remarkable hunger for it. And, you know, unfortunately, after what looked to be a really great run this year, the Eagles very dim opportunities ahead here this season.
Let me ask you, I'm surprised. I didn't realize that you go back all the way to 1987. You started with the Eagles when I started practicing law, so I guess we're about the same age. Where did you grow up, and how did you get involved with the Eagles?
Yeah, I grew up in Westchester, Pennsylvania, a sports fan, of course. Attended Temple University, immediately got into the media there at WRTI, the campus radio station, which then was run by students and had opportunities for on-air chances and development. And then I went back out to Westchester to work at my hometown newspaper, the Daily Local News. And in 1980, I was working full-time, actually, in the newspaper business as a senior in college in 87, covering the Eagles, the Phillies, the Flyers, the Sixers. And then stayed with that newspaper until 1989 when the Eagles started a publication back then. It's interesting. I'm sure that your world in law has changed as much as my world in the media. Our main communication with fans back in 1989 was a weekly newspaper called Eagles Digest, and we would mail it to subscribers, thousands of subscribers all over the world, who were you had to require patience to receive their publication. It was kind of based upon how quickly the mail service could get this, 24-page publication, 32-page publication to them. And then as the world of the media changed, getting more involved in newspapers and television and radio and information, 900 hotlines, joined the Philadelphia Eagles in 1996 and took over the Internet, the website, which has been so successful for us, and have just gradually changed, evolved, and kind of just improved my situation as a communicator of the Philadelphia Eagles, representing the organization. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful ride. It's been very gratifying. I love the Philadelphia Eagles to the core and can certainly understand the ups and downs that Eagles fans feel every week, every day, hoping that someday we can bring home the Lombardi Trophy and really have a celebration to remember forever in Philadelphia.
So you travel with the team whenever they go, you go, huh?
Yes.
Wow, that's, during the season, you're on the road a lot, I guess. You still live in the Delaware Valley?
Yeah, I live in Delaware County. Mm-hmm.
There you go. And let's talk for a second, just a second, about yesterday's game. Like 102 yards penalty. I mean, they gave away a touchdown just on penalties. It seems like they're responsible for their own destruction.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And it's been a lot of penalties, a lot of missed opportunities. The Eagles last year turned the football over 19 times. And the defense took it away 31 times for a very, very good plus-12 ratio. This year, they've turned the football over 35 times, most in the National Football League. They're at minus seven in the turnover ratio. They have blown so many opportunities to put games away here down the stretch. Yesterday, they tie the football game. They're driving. And on a third down four play, Mark Sanchez, instead of throwing the football just a little bit to the outside, the ball goes inside. It's an interception, and then Washington comes down and scores on a field goal. And that's kind of been a microcosm of the season. Missed opportunities, allowing an inferior football team in Washington to hang around. And in the National Football League, everybody's really good. The home crowd got into it for Washington, and they were able to come down and score the winning points. And it's just been very disappointing. Last year, the Eagles won 7 of their final 8 games to get into the playoffs in Chip Kelly's first year, and now the Eagles have lost 3 games in December. So whatever's happened, there have been some injuries. That's no excuse. Every team has them. They just haven't been able to handle prosperity. They haven't taken good care of the football. And as a result, they're a very disappointing 9-6 football team right now.
How are you received in the clubhouse?
Well, part of the team. I mean, everybody's in it together. I certainly have to be I can't sugarcoat things to Eagles fans. They're an intelligent group, and so I paint as realistic a picture as possible and tell it like it is. What the players involved say, what the coaches involved say, and everybody expressed deep, vast, tremendous disappointment yesterday. And it was a game that the Eagles really had no business losing. They had 495 yards of offense. They dominated a football game and weren't able to take control of it and put it away.
Yeah, unlike the Chargers, who've managed to find a way to win, the Eagles managed to find a way to lose.
Right, and the Chargers had a great comeback. They're still on the outside looking in as far as the playoff picture goes. They need some help as well. But, the Eagles are one win from the Dallas Cowboys away from being eliminated. And it's really shocking. This is a team that that should be much better than 9 wins and 6 losses.
So wait, all right, let's get it out on the table. What's the scenario that has to happen in order for the Eagles still to make the playoffs?
Well, the Eagles need to win next. Well, first of all, today the Dallas Cowboys host the Indianapolis Colts. A Dallas win ends the Eagles' season. A Dallas loss keeps the Eagles alive. And then next week it would come down to the Eagles beating the New York Giants and Dallas losing at Washington. So it requires 2 Dallas Cowboy losses and an Eagles win next week and on the road against the New York Giants.
Oof. Yeah, I'm not holding my breath. Dave Spadaro, yeah. I don't envy your position today, but, you know, it's really great having you join us on Court Radio. I want to thank you for getting up today to be a part of the Court Radio phenomenon, and I look forward to having you on the show many, many more times in the future.
Well, my pleasure anytime, and thank you, and have a great Sunday.
All right, Dave, take care, buddy. 215-227-2727. That was Dave Spadaro from Eagles Insider. He gave us the inside scoop, and it's not a pretty one. Hey, we got Representative Jordan Harris, who's retweeting our tweets. I don't even know what I just said, but Monica told me to say it, and I said it. It's Jordan Harris, probably on his way to church, and he's tweeting my tweets. All right? That's the kind of friends I have. He tweets me. I tweet him right back. We tweet each other. And we got tweets for people, or shirts for tweeting, and they, you know, we're going to take a break because we can't tweet anymore right now. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
It's a legal and financial squeeze. You're unable to work because of an accident, but your legal case is still not settled, so you can't pay the bills to take care of your family. But now, thanks to U.S. Claims, you can. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 1-877-US-CLAIMS. While you're waiting for your settlement, U.S. Claims can help you pay the bills. Get out of the squeeze. Call 1-877-US-CLAIMS today. If you have legal problems and need answers, call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first at 215-227-2727 for personal injury, medical malpractice, birth injury, and more. Call Dean first.
He will fight for your rights. That's what Dean Weitzman is all about.
Call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first. 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our 3 convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia. If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back. It's Court Radio, another Sunday in Nirvana, answering legal questions from the folks in Philadelphia and the surrounding area. You know what? We haven't gotten a call from Jersey today. I don't know, folks in Jersey. You're sleeping on the job. I'm joined by my special co-host, the filler-inner, the one, the only, John A. Lord. Hello, John.
All right, Dean. Oh, that was the Mr. Spadaro from the Eagles certainly did not sugarcoat his analysis.
Did not sugarcoat it.
Wow.
He said the bums needed to get their act together, and you know, he gets an inside seat right there, you know, at every single game. He's on the road with them, and sometimes he has to report the bad, the news, the ugly news, and he did it today right here on Court Radio. We're going to talk to, who am I going to talk to? I'm going to talk to Tammy. Tammy from Mount Airy on line 5. Oh, sorry, line 1. Good morning and welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's Tammy from Logan. How are you, Tammy?
I'm fine, thank you. How about yourself?
Great. We had our Tammys mixed up. You know, we've got Tammys on 1 and Tammys on 5, but this is your chance. What's going on in Logan?
Hi. Well, my question is, I got married in 1984. My husband and I remained in the same home until 1989. He was put out. And he hasn't lived here for the last 24 years. My name is not on the mortgage, but it's on the deed, as well as his mother and father. So his father's deceased. His mother's still living. And now he wants to come back in my house. When we divorced in 05, I just did a regular divorce. I did not non-contested divorce. I did not go through the property settlement. And I've been living here ever since. And I have paid the bills, made sure the house was maintained. And now he wants to come in and move back into the house.
Let me ask you a question, Tammy, from Logan. When you got divorced in 05, did you do that with the assistance of a lawyer?
Yes, I did, but I did not go through the property settlement because I just wanted to get the divorce done and over with.
Okay, well, now you're faced with a property settlement. And
correct.
Because even though you waited 25 years to do it, since the separation, and many years, like sounds like about 10 years since the actual divorce,
Not like I haven't tried to. I tried to do a settlement, and he refused to do it. I was going to give him half, and I had my everything, paperwork and everything together. I was going to remortgage the house, and they were going to do it. All he had to do was sign off on it, and he refused.
Okay, well, here's the interesting issues. Technically, if his mom and dad are on the deed, he doesn't have an interest per se, but you don't own that house 100% either. So his mother and father theoretically could will him, or it may pass to him through intestacy if they don't have wills, pass to him through intestacy their interest in that house. It'd be interesting to see how the house is titled because there's various ways. It could be titled with a right of survivorship, in which case you
it's
get
not.
It's not. Okay. So it's
no.
joint tenants,
yes.
And three people own the house, theoretically. So
I apologize for interrupting, but his father's deceased. So what does that mean?
Well, that I'm going to get there. So you have three people who own the house. The house is divided into thirds, and you
yes.
have a one-third interest. Your mother-in-law, ex-mother-in-law has a one-third interest. Your ex-father-in-law has a one-third interest. And when ex-father-in-law dies, his interest passed probably to his wife, your co-owner. So the mother-in-law, she's still alive, Tammy?
She is alive, but my father-in-law and mother-in-law were divorced at the time. So they were single persons.
Wow. This just gets crazier. Okay.
Tammy, whose name is actually on the deed, if you know?
Three.
Myself, my ex-husband, my mother-in-law, and he has not taken my father-in-law off, even though he's been deceased for 11 years.
Wait, so your ex-husband's on there too?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So now you've got four parts to this deed. You're a quarter owner. Your ex-husband is a quarter owner. His mom is a quarter owner, and his dead father is a quarter owner.
Or some heir of the dead father might be.
Right. Now the question is, if your deceased ex ex-father-in-law had a will. He could pass it.
He did not.
He did not. So does he have children besides your husband?
No, she's deceased. His sister is deceased.
Children. Does your ex-father-in-law have children besides your husband?
No.
Okay.
No.
So he's an only child.
No, he wasn't an only child. His sister is deceased.
Okay. So
she died about 12 years ago. Yes.
She died before her father. She died before her father died.
Yes, he did. No, she died after her father.
Did she have children?
She had children, yes.
Oh, Lord. Do you know how crazy this is?
Oh, really?
Do you have any idea? If she died after her father died, then as soon as he died, she got half of his estate. Half went to her, half went to her brother, your ex-husband. But when she died, her half went to her children. This is just crazy. You might as well just move out now. I mean, you got your entire ex-in-laws are all going to be in there, and nieces and nephews, and it just gets crazier and crazier. And that's why I tell people, you got to clean this up when it happens. And you don't have to rely. You started by saying, well, he wouldn't agree. You don't need him to agree. You could take him to court for the support and equitable distribution. In any event, here's what you need to do, because it really is, it's wild. You're going to have to sit down with somebody either at my office somewhere. We have a domestic relations division now of My Philly Lawyer. You can reach them by calling the same number, 215-227-2727. And folks listening now, if you've got domestic relations issues, and this certainly falls in those broad spectrum. If you've got domestic relations issues, you call 215-227-2727. You ask for Irina. Irina can schedule you in for a consultation. You're going to have to sit down, no doubt, pay a fee to sit down with a consultation, because we're going to have to lay this entire thing out and try to tease it out and figure out how to help you, if it's possible at this point. Here's the good news. You've been paying for the house for 20-something years and nobody else has. So now we get into an issue of whether they've abandoned their right to it. You might have the house by adverse possession. At least, at the very least, you need to be compensated, I would think, in some way. But you've also lived in a house that's technically owned by other people, and you've had the benefit of doing that. So this is a very complicated matter. It's not an easy decision to tease out, and you're going to need to bring all your paperwork in and sit down and have a consultation. 215-227-2727. Tammy from Logan, I wish I could be more specific now, but you've presented us with a conundrum that's not easy to figure out. It really requires a kind of plotting out your family tree, and your family tree's got some X's on it that soured fruit.
The X's are on my side, not on his side. So that's the good news.
All right, good. Then you're going to have to work the crowd to some. There's going to be some horse trading, but I think we might be able to help you. Give us a call during the week, and have a great Sunday, Tammy.
You as well. Have a good holiday.
Bye now.
All right. Thanks. Bye bye.
So sorry. Tammy, call back if you'd like. You presented such an interesting scenario. Monica felt compelled to give you a T-shirt that I omitted to give you. Bye, Tammy. 215-227-2727. Let's talk to Quentin on line 2 from West Philly. Quentin, welcome to Court Radio. Yo.
How are you?
Good. What's your question, Quentin?
Hello?
Yeah, we got you on the line.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
My question is this. I had an accident that I just settled on, but before I signed, it was a situation where my lawyer calls me and tells me that the number that they want to settle at. I agreed to the number, and a week before I signed the release papers, he tells me that the therapy, because it was a workman's comp case, that the therapist that I went to is being audited by the IRS. Now, I didn't understand how that got anything to do with me getting my payment. And maybe 4 days after he telling me this, he said he never seen this before. He don't understand what's going on in reference to that. And 4 days after that, he gets me to come down and sign the full settlement, stating that I don't have any liens, nothing's going on with me, and that we're still waiting for the therapist, the IRS, to deal with the therapist for me to get my payment. I didn't understand that.
I don't either, Quentin. I don't either. You're settling not with the therapist. The therapist has nothing to do with your settlement. You're settling with, first of all, was this purely a workers' comp case?
This was, well, I was on a job and I got hit by somebody, and the person didn't have any insurance, but my company had underinsured and uninsured. So here it is, they're paying me and they're going after the person that hit us.
There you go. I got it. Your claim rests against the insurance company for your employer who maintained uninsured and underinsured motorist benefits. That's all well and good. And you have a claim for workers' compensation.
Right.
Say again?
This was the thing, Dane, that he stated beforehand that he was getting workman comp because the therapist wanted me to pay out of my settlement. He was working workman comp to get them to pay the therapist so I won't have to pay it out of my settlement. And he said this been done.
Right. It sounds to me like what's going on. And again, not seeing the paperwork, this is subject to some interpretation. But it sounds to me, Quentin, like what you're saying is that your attorney's trying to say, hey, there's this outstanding bill for the therapist. It wasn't paid by workers' comp, and the therapist is, his bills are being audited, and until we know what they're paying and how much they're paying, we're not going to be able to make distribution. We're going to get the money, put it in escrow, and hold on to it until these other details are worked out. Perhaps that's what's going on. But again, I need to see the paperwork in order to understand it in its entirety. I think that you need to get your lawyer to explain it to you a little bit better, because you sound like an intelligent guy. I think that if somebody sat down and gave you all the facts, you'd probably be able to understand it. But if you don't, after all that, and you'd like us to take a look, by all means, give me a call during the week at 215-227-2727. But I'm not pushing you off. I just want to see. I need to see the papers in order to fully understand what it is they're trying to do with you or to you.
Okay.
All right, Quentin?
I know he was explaining to me that he never seen this before. And that workman comp already took care of the therapist. I don't understand how the therapist and his issues holding me up. I don't understand that.
I don't either, not one bit. There are certain things that can hold you up. Like on a settlement, sometimes if you have a lien by a government agency like Medicare or a health insurance company, you got to work those liens out before we can make final distribution. But I don't see how this issue with a therapist can muddle your waters. But if you get the papers and you want us to take a look, by all means, you can always email me at dean@myphillylawyer.com, and you can attach paperwork for me to look at. If it's quick and easy and I can take a look at it during the week at my leisure, I'm certainly willing to do that for listeners of Court Radio. 215-227-2727, or you can reach me by email at dean@myphillylawyer.com. Quentin, thanks for listening.
Thanks a lot,
Dave. Take care, buddy. The question is, and I didn't ask Quentin this, why was somebody else handling this and not us?
I have no idea.
Yeah, because for sure, if Quentin had called Dean first, like we've been telling people, if you call me first, he'd understand what's going on, because I would sit down with him until he did. I would, you know, school him on what was happening, and if it is something that is strange, well, we'd both figure it out together and get to the bottom of it, because I want to get paid just as much as I want to get my clients paid.
Absolutely.
Yeah. 215-227-2727. Let's talk quick to Kevin from Wilmington on line 4, Larry. Hello, Kevin. Oh, Kevin from Wilmington. Nope. No Kevin. All right. Let's talk to Jimmy from West Philly on line 4.
Hello.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yes.
We got 1 minute. Make it quick.
Okay. I had a question. My son was livestock, but they gave me a ticket for letting him drive a car with a suspended license. He had a physical license. How would I know it's suspended?
That's a very good question.
That's a great question.
Yeah. I think that's a winner if you take that to court.
How old's your son?
He's 27.
Yeah,
But when I went to court, they told me that's no excuse. You know, you let him drive, so there's not very much you can do. That's the way the state has the law.
I find that hard to believe. You have to have intent, and you have to, in order to have intent to commit a crime, and, you know, even a summary offense is a crime, if you have to have intent, then you have to have knowledge. I there's no way for you to investigate that. That sounds to me like you could have taken an appeal from that and maybe should, if it means enough to you.
I have 30 days to appeal it.
Yes, you do, and it'll bring you back into court again, maybe another day off of work, and sometimes that's not worth it, but that would
that's
be my advice.
Problem.
Yeah, I get you.
That's what the state goes after. You know, you don't have the time to fight it, so they just get the money.
Did you get any points on your license for that?
No, actually, it's no points. Good. It's just about money, really.
All right.
They just want to
well,
get
isn't,
what they can.
It's all about money all the time. All about money. Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening to the Court Radio. Have a great Sunday.
And you do the same.
Take care, Jimmy. We'll catch up to you next time, folks. We're out of here because time is up. Next week, same time, same place. Talk to you then.
The preceding was a paid program of MyPhillyLawyer.com.